from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The Big Bad Morning Show presents Jeremy Kahn in a world of stupid. 105.7 The Bad.
All right, time for the world of stupid. And Joe, I got a couple different stories here for you, a few that are going to be quicker than others. I don't know if anybody's heard about the mayor who spent $30,000 on personal grooming last year, Mayor Brandon Johnson. Latest campaign finance report lists a $4,000 payment from his political fund to a beauty salon on March 27th. Expenditure that it shows was for event expenses. You know what? I mean, I could keep reading this story. This stuff drives me nuts because this is happening. But the funny thing is, like, whether you're conservative or liberal, you only point out when it's happening on the other side. And you're like, oh, look at what they're doing. You're both doing it. You're both scumbags. Like, all the stuff that was going on with Menendez and all these trips overseas and using taxpayers' money for private jets and nonsense. And then going back to, like, I always talk about the televangelists that are just ripping people off.
Dude. Yep.
But these guys are scumbags. And I hope they throw the book at them when they're misappropriating funds for their personal pleasure.
It's going to open up a whole can of worms to get deeper into that.
Oh, obviously. I mean, there's so many different things we could go down this path with. But I'll move on. I got another story here that's really just horrific. What's the biggest snake you've ever seen, Joe?
At the zoo, I saw a ball python.
Mm-hmm. So there's some really big ones out there. I saw, like, up front, same thing as you, probably at a zoo, seeing a big-ass python or an anaconda. I saw pictures of an anaconda swimming through the Amazon, and this was one of those ones where it looked like it was 25 to 30 feet long. It wasn't AI either. You know, you could see, like, it wasn't as big as the one in the movie. Obviously, that thing's ridiculous.
Oh, man, that's a... No, but that was based off a true story.
But that's like, I mean, this thing was like this thick, Joe. Thick. As
that really translates to radio also.
Could they see it?
Yeah, they could see that.
Are we on the camera?
Yep.
I'd say it was about the width of like a basketball, like or the diameter.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Diameter, yeah.
If you're and it was huge, but this story is just scary. A 16-foot python swallowed a woman whole in Indonesia. The husband of 45-year-old.
How big was it?
16-foot.
Wow.
The husband of 45-year-old Farida found the body inside a python, which measured around 5 meters. This was a mother of three or four, I believe. A mother of four began, they began searching for her after she failed to return home. Her husband found her belongings, which made him suspicious. The villagers then searched the area. They soon spotted a python with a large belly. They agreed to cut open the python's stomach, and that's where they found Farida's head. Was immediately visible as soon as they started cutting it open. I don't know if you can see over my shoulder. I'll post this on social media if anybody wants to look at these pictures. I mean, that's a gigantic snake. And I don't know if, like, if you're one of those people that have always thought about stuff like this, like, oh, We don't have to worry about a gigantic snake coming into our house and eating us.
In Florida, maybe.
Maybe in Florida now with all the pythons that have shown up. But, you know, pythons, boa constrictors,
yeah.
they constrict and then they swallow.
I mean, the movies like Anaconda, something like that, made me believe growing up that dealing with snakes would be a much larger problem in my life, a lot like quicksand.
I was just getting ready to bring up quicksand.
Yeah, quicksand, tornadoes, hurricanes. Thankfully, not as much of a problem, but...
The bog of eternal stench, that
yes.
was something I thought might happen. Didn't want to fall into it and smell like farts the rest of my life.
100%.
You know? Anyway, but this story, I posted it on social media, at JCon Sports, if you want to see it. I also posted the, which we'll get to as the headliner here, the rattlesnake massage, if you want to see that. That's also on social media, at JCon Sports on Twitter. Now... It just, like, that has to be a horrible way. Like, you're cutting open this snake and seeing your wife.
I don't even know. Wasn't the photo, maybe when this was from the New York Post. Is that where you found this?
This story was.
Because they at least did their own, but everything was blurred out. And I can't stand the Post, so I didn't read it.
No, I got it on Barstool, so okay. It's not blurred out. The one I tweeted out is not blurred out, if you want to see the visual images. But it's rough, man. That's a rough scene there. Another rough scene. Don't know about you. You go camping a lot. Have you ever had any issues with bugs or like an infestation?
Not necessarily. I'm a pretty sweet guy, so mosquitoes love me.
I got
but
you,
that's
man.
A me problem. That's not like we were going somewhere and we got like attacked by something.
Well, this couple in Thailand decided to open up their hotel room window.
Oh, man.
And 2,000 moths came in.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
No, I think it's hilarious. Two British tourists in Thailand were horrified as they inadvertently allowed hundreds of moths to flood their hotel room. In a series of videos that were posted on TikTok, Gemma Sayer captured a startling scene in the popular tourist destination of Pai. I guess that's P-A-I, Pai.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pay?
Maybe. Pay?
The footage shows massive swarm of insects overtaking their bed and mosquito netting, creating a truly alarming sight. Now, my father did pest control. And,
okay.
So, like, I've seen termites and roach infestation is just so disgusting.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started on that.
It's really bad. Swarms of bees, especially if it's hornets or yellow jackets. But I've told the story on the air about my dad. I'll tell this real quick. It's great. So my dad being the tough guy, it's Pride Month. So
okay.
My dad being the tough guy, he ends up going over some guy's house.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy had vermin in his attic.
Okay.
So it ended up being a squirrel. So my dad was going to catch it and just let it go somewhere else. Anyway, so as he's leaving the house after he catches the squirrel, the guy goes, and my dad was always like, when a guy hits on me, I'll punch him in the face, right?
Yep.
And the guy goes, I've been admiring the bulge in your crotch and wanted to know if you wanted to go upstairs for a bit. And my dad was like, no. And then just walked away. He's still stunned. Still stunned.
At least he this day.
At least he had a bulge. I mean, that's a nice thing.
That's a really solid compliment.
Yeah, he didn't pass it on to the kids, though. Well, in either way.
Ugh. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this headline story. Screw the moths. Screw my dad's bulge. Joe, can you see over my shoulder?
I can.
This is the rattlesnake massage.
Okay.
Let me go back to the beginning. Damn it. I want you to see this video. Can you see what she's doing? So a guy is laying on his stomach.
I do see this.
And the woman has her elbow in the crack of his butt, basically, or between his thighs.
Yeah.
And she's just moving her arm around in his butt cheeks.
Okay.
And massaging him. I guess it's the anus that gets massaged here.
Some glute action there.
You see her? She's got the elbow and she's wiggling the fingers.
Yeah.
And it's called a rattlesnake massage. And apparently this is a new trend. And people want to go through this. Does that look like it's comfortable to you? Like
I'm pretty ticklish, so I don't like massages at all.
You don't?
No, not at all.
When we were on vacation in Jamaica, I went in and the lady's like, well, okay, what kind of massage you want? I said, beat the effing crap out of me.
But that's because your back is like, it's a war zone. And that whole muscle situation you got going on back there.
I told her, I said, don't give me a safe word. Just go at it. Just beat me up.
Look, man, I'm too ticklish for that. I'm not paying for that.
Let me try the rattlesnake massage on you, see if we can't work this out. Because I don't know, like, I guess the elbow goes into the taint.
Why is it called a rattlesnake massage?
Because you're wiggling your hand like this.
Okay.
Like a rat. So
I thought you were going to say that, like, they have, like, a rattlesnake was actually involved.
No, but when I was researching this, I found this story, and I was trying to find a really good story to give an explanation, but all there is video. So if you want to see the rattlesnake massage, go to @JayConSports. You can see it. It's a little weird. I just don't get it, but it seems like something creepy that's going around, and that's your world of stupid.
Just like that.
Yeah. Ooh. That rattlesnake massage just, again, don't know if it's something you want. All right, we're going to be joined by Cordell Woodland, Mike Bordick this hour. We'll talk some NBA. If you missed it, Dan Hurley turning down the Lakers. We'll get to that at 8:30. But up next, Cordell Woodland joins us. We're going to talk some minicamp. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Orioles as well with Cordell. He's coming up next here on The Fan.
MLB, NFL, NCAA. Get it all right here. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Jeremy Conrad solo today. A couple different things. Want to give a shout out to Uber driver Henry right now. He's driving Jacob Calvin Meyer, JCM. What he doesn't know is that he might be a serial killer in the back of his car. But he told me that he did enjoy my dad's bulge story. So the story, not his. You get it. You get what
I was about to say. Yeah.
So it's a good way to welcome in Cordell Woodland to the program. And I'm sure he really wants to follow that. But Cordell, how have things been, man? What's going on with you?
Everything's good. Nothing dealing with the bulge, but yeah, everything's good.
All right, Cordell Woodland here with us. And Cordell, real quick, so as we have mandatory minicamp starting today, what are you most looking forward to seeing? Is it some of the battles for positions, the rookies? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, really just that, you know, seeing some of these offensive line rotations. I know they're going to continue to mix and match some of these guys. And like you said, some of these battles, we started to see the Tez Walker and TJ Tampa rookie battle heat up a little bit on the back end of OTAs. Kind of reminds me a little bit of, not saying it's the same caliber of players, but just in terms of the back and forth in their rookie year, reminds me of Isaiah Likely and Kyle Hamilton, their rookie year. They seem to always be matched up in one-on-ones or seven-on-seven or something. So it seems to be the same way for them. But, yeah, man, just seeing everybody there and seeing who of these, you know, injured guys may make an appearance on the field. We'll see how much Marlin can do over these next 3 days. But really just checking out the scenes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are interested in want to see what Derrick Henry's look like. How much interaction or how much have you got to see him? And kind of give me your thoughts with the Ravens getting him in the fold, what you think we see from him this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Henry is going to fit the part for the Ravens. I mean, this is a team that runs the ball better than anybody, and that's kind of his calling card. And I'm excited to see what he and Lamar are able to do now that they have each other, and you imagine that they'll kind of both be taking something off of each other's plate in a good way. I think they both kind of need less. Lamar has led this team in rushing every year as a starter, and he's been the primary focus of their run game. And I don't think that's going to change because he's just that dynamic. But for a guy like Derrick Henry, what does that do for Lamar? What does having Lamar next to Derrick Henry do for Derrick Henry? So I'm excited to see that. But yeah, I mean, he looks the part. I mean, he's a big guy. You know, he wears that dark visor. So he definitely is a guy you don't want to see in the middle of the hole.
Talking to Cordell Woodland here on the Big Bad Morning Show, and a couple different things to bring your way regarding the safety position, because they've kicked the tires. They brought in Jamal Adams. We heard about Justin Simmons. I just saw Marcus May, I believe, sign with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect them to sign another safety or to bring a guy in, or do you think they're okay with where they're at?
No, I do. I think there are, you know, too many quality safeties out there. You mentioned Justin Simmons. I mean, he's at the top of that. Now, the question with him would be, you know, what type of money is he demanding? But I think he would fit exactly what they want to do. They're looking for a rangy safety that could stay back there in coverage and make some plays, force some turnovers. That's what Geno Stone was able to do. I mean, you put Justin Simmons back there with Marcus Williams, you could kind of let Kyle Hamilton do whatever he wants to do. Even a guy like Quandre Diggs entices me a little bit. Quandre Diggs is a dude that another one that has forced interceptions throughout his career, especially on the back end of his career. He's durable. He's played through most of the season over the last four or five seasons. So he's another one that I wouldn't be afraid to go talk to. But I think when you have the Marcus Williams and you have the Kyle Hamilton, it can make that third safety guy in his job pretty easier than what it's used to, especially for a guy like Justin Simmons. But just looking at what they have on the roster, it's a long shot in my mind that they just lean with what they have.
Hey, Cordell, with the fact that, a couple different things. One thing on the Ravens before we get to the Orioles, as you start looking at some of the battles that we have in camp, and, we were kind of talking about the offense earlier. We mentioned the offensive line. There'll be some camp battles there to figure out who's going to be the guy. But what do you expect this offense to look like? The one thing that I've said, and I know Rob's talked about it, is I want to see more two tight end sets and them to create some things and some wrinkles out of those sets. What are your thoughts on what this offense looks like this year?
Yeah, I think that's definitely number one on everybody's wish list, is to see how they're going to involve Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely together. I mean, we know what they can do individually, but if they want to maximize this offense, they have to get the most out of those guys when they're both healthy. I'm curious to see how much under the center we'll see. With Derrick Henry coming in, do they go to more under center stuff? And I'm not against that. I think that'll be great for them. Some of that under center play action should be lethal for the Ravens this year. Play action in general should be lethal for this offense, but especially some of the back to the defense play action that you get from under center. I'm curious to see, if we're talking about these two tight end sets, what does that mean for the wide receivers? How many wide receivers are we seeing on the field? Do they get crazy with some of their personnel packages? Because guys like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, they can line up kind of anywhere. So, that leaves room for them to still put some of these wide receivers on the field. What does that mean for Patrick Ricard, who was a big-time blocker in the run game and helped a lot pass blocking as well? So I'm just curious to see some of their personnel packages as well, because it may not be as simple as saying 12 personnel, 13 personnel, anything like that, considering where some of these guys may be lining up.
Talking to Cordell Woodland here on the Big Bad Morning Show. Let me switch gears to the Orioles and get your thoughts on this T. Rowe Price patch. It has a lot of people upset. I'm indifferent to it. I don't care. And the guys bust my chops here when I tell them I don't care. But if it doesn't affect me and it's not really something that, I have an issue with one way or the other, then so be it. Make your money off of it. And I still think with new ownership, they're going to spend some money. But what do you think about the T. Rowe Price patch? Like it, dislike it, indifferent?
Yeah, I'm very indifferent. I mean, if I had to nitpick, I don't love that it kind of breaks the color scheme. I've forever loved that black and orange color scheme. So I don't like that out of nowhere it's just like this splash of paint that's just thrown on the jersey, it seems like. But not enough for me to, go on Twitter and complain about it or bring it up on my show or anything like that. I didn't bring it up at all last night. So, I just think with as good as this team is playing right now, people kind of have to look for something to complain about, because you can't complain about anything on the field over the last week. So, I really don't have an issue with it.
Cordell, one last thing. What do you think about Dan Hurley turning on the Lakers? This is going to get really interesting now.
I mean, this dude has turned down a Kentucky job and the Laker job in the same offseason. So either he's just driving up his leverage with Connecticut or something. I don't know what it is, but I think now it puts the Lakers back, I don't want to say in scramble mode, but I guess we're back on the J.J. Redick train for the Lakers. People are going to have to apologize to Shams because they gave him the business once this Dan Hurley stuff came out, and we'll see if the apologies are as loud as the jokes. But for Dan Hurley, he gets an opportunity to go win three straight national championships with three different teams, essentially. That'll be crazy in itself. I also wondered, with a guy like Dan Hurley, who is a brilliant basketball mind, that's clear. That doesn't necessarily mean that it'll translate to the pros in terms of how he can deal with these players. You watch Dan Hurley and how he interacts on the sidelines. He gets into it. He gets very intense, and he has some some vibes of kind of my way or the highway. And you go to L.A., especially if Braun decides to stay, that's just not going to fly. It's just not going to fly. The pros are different. It's a different game. And then when you see that they only offered him $70 million over 10 years, I thought it was supposed to be some game-changing offer. That's not – if I'm Dan Hurley, that's not game-changing. If I'm Cordell Woodland, it is. But, I would have expected that offer to be much bigger, considering that they know they have to pull him out of UConn. So, all in all, I guess it all went the way that it was supposed to go, and we'll see if J.J. Redick is the guy for the Lakers.
Great stuff, Cordell. When can we hear you next?
I'll be back next week. I'll be doing a lot this week with Ravens minicamp and the Braves series coming in, and then the Phillies right after that. So back heavy into the field. I was on air last night, but I'll probably be back again next week.
Jack of all trades. There he goes, Cordell Woodland. Check him out next week. And, of course, one of the hardest working guys here. Appreciate your time, Cordell. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. That's Cordell Woodland. Great stuff from him. I mean it. Like, he goes down and covers the Orioles, covers the Ravens. Like, hey, we need you for this show. We need you for that. He just does it all. So we're going to talk some more Dan Hurley. Coming up at 8:45, we have Mike Bordick. But up next, we'll get into Hurley turning down the Lakers. Good decision, bad decision. Where do the Lakers go next? Do they go back to J.J. Redick? Is he upset? We'll have to see. And we'll take your phone calls, 410-583-1057.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Big Bad Morning Show with Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. Sponsored by IG Burton Buick. Experience the new Buick at IG Burton Buick. 105.7 The Fan.
Oh my God. Jeremy Kahn here with you. By the way, the show's flying by. Some of the weirdest things. I don't know what it is with music and movies. I laugh at some of the weirdest things, and I hear things that people don't. Like, I always tell people one of the movies I laughed at the most was Big Daddy. And it's not any of the parts that you laughed at. It's when Steve Buscemi had cantaloupe in the back of the court. And I'm like, where'd a homeless guy get cantaloupe from? Because it looked pretty fresh and good. I'm laughing and nobody else in the theater is laughing. It's just me looking like a jackass. Anyway, all right. We were going to talk about Dan Hurley and his decision. I actually like this. And to me, I've said this before. You can be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond. And I think going to the Lakers, you're going to get paid. You're going to make your money. But you're not the captain there. You're not the chief. And even though you're the coach, you're not the guy that's going to end up making a lot of the decisions if LeBron stays there, no matter what anyone thinks. And I didn't know how that relationship was going to work out. I think he's perfect staying where he's at. being a great coach. I think he's an unbelievable coach, and I think he can do more at the collegiate level than he can at the NBA level. I wonder about some of these X's and O's guys when you get on a team with all these veterans that have egos and they're driven. Like, what was it going to be like the first time Dan Hurley yelled at LeBron? I mean, really?
I want to be a fly on the wall when that happened.
Because, like, I want to say this the right way. Dan Hurley he's an a-hole, right? He's kind of like, and that's too aggressive. He's very aggressive himself.
Yeah.
So he has no problem coming back at
it's
someone.
It's an alpha kind of thing.
That's probably the best way to put it. A-hole is wrong. Alpha. He that's what he considers himself. And when he's in the room, he's going to tell you how things are going to be. And he wants all that control. But as Cordell put it, you know, he turned down Kentucky and now he's turned down the Lakers, which there might not be a bigger job on both levels collegiately. But I don't know why you go to Kentucky if you're at UConn and you can do the same things there, unless you just think it's a better spot to go to. You're going to have a longer leash at UConn where you're probably going to decide when you want to go, what you want to do, almost like a Jim Boeheim situation, even though he was still pushed out at the very end. I think that's the opportunity you have. And for me, I'd rather be that big fish in the small pond and kind of control things. But you know, anybody that's any good at something, you always want to push yourself to see if you can do it at the next level. And I don't know that the difference between coaching in the NBA and college being the next level because the players are better and now they're getting paid even more money. But some guys want to see if they can do it and go that route. Sometimes you're intrigued to see if you can, you know, can I win an NBA championship and a collegiate championship? There's a handful of guys that have done that, but you could be on that short list. So I think Larry Brown, is he one of them? Did he ever win an NBA championship?
I didn't think he ever won an NBA title.
He won college, yeah. So I think there's a couple of guys that have, right? You'll find out, Joe. But the point is, like, as I'm looking at Dan Hurley's decision, I was kind of shocked. I thought he was going to go after Woj dropped the Woj bomb saying it was happening.
That's not true. Actually, it was Larry Brown.
He did win in
He's the only coach in basketball history, both in national championship was the Jayhawks in '88, and then with the Pistons in 2004.
He was coaching the Pistons before? Oh, yeah. That does make sense then. By the way, I saw something today that said nobody gave Sean Bradley enough credit for being for being 7'6", wearing number 76 while playing for the 76ers. I thought that was pretty cool. But no, but I just think it's a great decision by him, and we'll see how it plays out. But he's going to have the opportunity to build there. And I got to imagine for a coach that brought in all these players and some of your guys stayed, I realize that some are leaving for the NBA at UConn. If you care, I think it's got to be a hard thing to say, hey, I'm leaving you guys to go to this job.
When they had already started practices at UConn.
And he leaves them hanging high and dry, like later on now.
Yeah, I mean, you can call him an a-hole, whatever term you want to use, but I think he genuinely does care about making an impact on younger people rather than having to go deal with LeBron James.
See, and that's perfect, because that's not the word I wanted to use, but I was just trying to, like, he's abrasive. And I think the word that Joe, like being an alpha, that he can turn people off around him, especially some of those players, if you're getting into it with. And you've got two of the biggest, I mean, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are huge names.
Yeah, that's, and massive contracts, a lot of huge, like, even if they would have gotten Hurley, they have a huge number of decisions to make over the next 18 months that he's probably like, I don't really know if I'll, because then his head's on the chopping block if they don't work.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that you could say is that if he left and took that job, that it would only be probably a couple of years with LeBron. But then again, like, do you want to restart without him and trying to build this thing back up? Because at UConn, he can be a heavy hitter year after year after year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's already won back-to-back championships. He could go for the three-peat if he's got enough talent coming back. You know, losing Klingon that's huge. I mean, he's going to be a lottery pick. He's one of the best defensive centers in college basketball, if not the best defensive center. And I think whoever gets him, they were talking about the Hornets are interested in him. They want to draft him, and they might. There were some teams that were talking about trading players, like established players, to go get Klingon because they feel like he could really help their team. And that's a guy that's going to have to be used a lot, because when you look at the dominant centers around the league, going to be really interesting to see. I mean, when you think about some of the MVPs we've had with Embiid and Jokic, and they're not the only big guys that can really play.
Well, Hurley did also ask for a raise at UConn. He's working on that. So
I think, you know, I think they should give him one.
I think they should too, but I also think that they were like, oh wow, he actually I think they thought they were in the clear when he said no to Kentucky. I don't really know if it was really on... I mean, it wasn't really on my radar that the Lakers would ask him to or any NBA team would ask him to jump to a higher rank.
You can always ask, and you hear about the money they throw
out. It's true.
A 10-year deal, is long, like you get all that money, even if they fire you, unless you did something stupid like Ime Udoka, but I also think you might get the money then. I wonder how many people in Houston he slept with their wives, but anyway... Allegedly. Sorry, we got more coming up here at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about this Athletics Anonymous Player Survey. Joe's got it. I'm interested in this, and I want to hear what they're saying.
It's got a lot of interesting quotes in there.
Okay, we'll get to that. But up next, Mike Bordick joins us. I heard an old clip of Bordy talking about his brother's ex-wife. I'm not going to bring it up to him, but it was so hilarious. We'll get to all that with Michael Bordick. Michael. Who am I? Mike Bordick.
He's Michael Jordan? Out. Michael Bordick?
I'm being professional. Let's see if he says hi to me, and it's great to be on the
please
show.
Please do that.
Michael Bordick's joining us next, right here on The Fan.
Covering everything sports, every day. 105.7 The Fan.
Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. We bring in... Michael Bordick with a little Michael Jackson. Way to go there, Joe. I don't know why I called him Michael when I was doing it last time, but now you're Michael Bordick. Thanks for joining the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So, Mike, let's talk about what the Orioles just did, because I heard Brandon Hyde mention, like, no matter what, they've won swept two four-game series this year, this one being on the road. That's an extremely difficult thing to do on the road, is sweep a four-game set.
Oh, my gosh. No, absolutely. The Orioles are playing some really incredible baseball right now, both at home, but more importantly on the road. And if you want to have a successful season, you better be on top of your game on the road. And so not only are the Orioles accomplishing that, but they're also doing it against the American League East, which is pretty impressive as well. So they have just so many great facets of their game working right now. And it's perfect timing, too, because, they get to come home a little bit. But some of the better teams are in front of them right now. So it'll be a great challenge for the Orioles.
Yeah, I was just looking to see which pitchers they'd get. Zach Wheeler pitches tonight for the Phillies, which most likely means he's pitching on Sunday. And then, of course, they get Max Fried tonight from Atlanta, who's their best pitcher. And he's been lights out this year. So when you come into a game, like I always hear this about fly ball hitters against sinker ballers. You like it so they can hopefully lift that sinker to get it up, especially if it's elevated at all. But a guy like Max Fried, who gets so many ground balls, it's got to be a really tough matchup to come in and try to face and make sure you're looking for your pitch.
Well, absolutely. And I think what the Orioles have done, and I think they've won in so many different ways with their offense, but you know, a starting pitcher might throw up some pretty good numbers against them. As a matter of fact, there have been quite a few starting pitchers that have really kind of dealt on this Oriole offense. But late in the game, man, you get into that bullpen, and this Orioles team is just relentless. I don't know what it is, man. They'll finally knock a starter out maybe in the sixth inning or seventh inning, and you bring some of these fresh arms out of the bullpen, it seems like every guy is ready. Every guy off the bench that comes in puts together good at-bats. And it just seems like that's why they're so hard to beat. They just don't stop. They play the full game.
Yeah, last night was weird. We see a Jordan Westberg error, and then the catcher in the 9-hole hit a home run for them. And then James McCann in the 9-hole come back and hit a home run for the Orioles. I mean, they as you said, they've got it done in so many different ways. And in last night, you know, Corbin Burnes just doing Corbin Burnes-like things, another quality start. He's just been so good for them. And then I heard the quote, he thinks he can get better.
So. Yeah. Isn't that great? And that's what I really love about every one of these guys. I feel like that's the way they come to the field every day. Okay. How am I going to make myself better today? They all, you know, come in and they work at their craft, very disciplined. And I think Corbin Burnes, he doesn't need any help, by any means, but Bradish and Rodriguez really, what they did is they put the dagger right into the Rays offense, and Burnes just finished them off. I mean, it was unbelievable what those guys did to that Rays team. And just kind of sending a message that they've got some horses, too, right here in this Orioles rotation. And if you do happen to get lucky enough to knock them out, one of the better bullpens in the game is right behind them. So,
Yeah, I mean, pitching wins. They've been playing good defense. It was kind of weird, huh, to see Westberg drop that pop-up yesterday. But, you know, the trop, pretty tough for everybody on fly balls, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and, you know, like, he's been a guy that's been so consistent that I felt bad for him, and he didn't even look at Burns, just kind of had his head down, went back to second base, like, let's just move on. But he didn't have a great night going 0-for-5. But here's something for you on Burns. Last four starts, 4-0 with a 1.09 ERA. Against the AL East, he's 4-1 this year with a 1.13 ERA. He's just been outrageously good, and I only have good things to say about Bradish and Grayson, too, so I feel like with those three, you give yourself a chance in any series, no matter who you're playing.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, you know, I think we all kind of looked at Bradish last season and said, wow, this guy's like a legit number one, especially that second half he had. And, of course, Grayson Rodriguez showing some great signs as well. I think he's looked as good as he's ever looked the last two games, just his composure and stuff. So it makes you think, wow, he could be a potential number one. And then, of course, the Orioles making that big move this offseason to land Corbin Burns, a legit true number one. So, you know, to have three aces sitting right there at the top of the rotation is pretty impressive stuff. And I know, you know, we always as fans want more. You know, it's just we're fickle that way, right? We see a really good team and we want to make it just rock solid. Well, this rotation is as solid as any in the game, and that's even with a couple of these losses. Now, we always would like some depth, but the guys that are throwing the ball right now are doing a great job. Everybody's really stepping up in the face of a couple really tough injuries.
What do you think of this Phillies team coming in as we're talking to Mike Bordick here on the Big Bad Morning Show? Lots of talent there, lots of power. You'll see them. You get to see the Braves first, but it's a nice little, if you want to call it, litmus test for the Orioles to face some of the best teams in the National League.
Yeah. It's really going to be challenging here the rest of the month. And I love it, too, because I think the Orioles are ready, obviously, for the challenge. I think, you know, what they did last year and then coming into this season, now being, you know, World Series, you know, favorites to some degree. And, you know, challenging, obviously, the Yankees here in the American League East. You would think for as good as the Orioles are playing that they'd be walking away with the East. But it seems like the Yankees have been kind of able to match them step for step. But, you know, the Braves are going to be a good challenge, even though they're a little bit depleted with Acuna being injured. They have a couple other injuries, and some guys are off to slow starts offensively, but they're no stranger to what it takes to endure through a 162-game campaign and familiar with the postseason as well, so they know what's ahead of them. The Phillies, they're just another proven team, right, that they're familiar with the postseason. You know, they've just got a legit quality rotation that keeps them in the game every night, and they've got bats all the way through that lineup. Some really dangerous hitters. You know, they're playing some good baseball. It seems like they have that kind of great chemistry that the Orioles have. So it's going to be an awesome challenge, I think, for the O's and really both these teams, because even though, you know, we say the Orioles are the best team, the Phillies think they're the best team, this is, even though it's still early in the season, this is a great litmus test, right? You always want to challenge yourself and see how you compare to the so-called better teams out there in baseball. And this whole month, the rest of the month, is going to be that great challenge for this O's team.
Yeah, I agree, too. Like, you know, it's something to play these teams early on and get a feel for them. When I'm facing the Phillies, I think I'd rather have a lefty going to try to offset some of that power that Schwarber and Harper and even Stott, you know, you can mix in a bunch of those guys. But from the right side, they still have JT Realmuto. And for people that haven't been watching, Alec Boehm has been incredible this season, and then Nick Castellanos keeps hitting home runs when you weren't expecting it, because he started off so slow this year. So I'm loving this week. I can't wait to watch the baseball games. One last thing for you before I let you run. The patch on the arm for T. Rowe Price, how do you feel about it? Does it upset you at all seeing the sponsorship on the jerseys, or is that something for a sign to come here in baseball that we're going to see more of this?
Man, my heart, I say, look, it's trash, man. It really is. That's just from my heart. But, you know, listen, I understand change. I understand, you know, where the game is right now. And if that's, you know, a need, they got to do what they got to do. You know, that's not the first sport that's done this. So, I just think it's the changing times and, you know, just the way a lot of teams have to approach things right now. So it is what it is. Baseball's done a lot of change in here the last 20 years, and this is just another one. So I'm not that upset about it. But if I had my vote, I would say no freaking way when I want patches right. on a team uniform.
Absolutely. All right. That's Mike Bordick and Bordy. When are you getting your ass back to work? Is it this week?
Dude, you don't listen to me, man. I was on last night. Me and Tim Barbalay. We crushed it last night, but I'll be down at Pickles tonight with Bob Haynes.
You get that. Let that dog out. It sounds like he's a good boy and he's got to go outside.
Yeah, I got to get this dog out.
Bordy, always appreciate it, man. Look forward to seeing you next time and chatting with you.
Sounds good, Jeremy. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. That's Mike Bordick, one of the best. Love that guy. So good. Michael Bordick. All right, we've got the final hour of the program coming up. Man, the show's just flying by. Coming up in the next hour, I'll tell you where to place your bets, what went right, what went wrong last night. Oh, boy, one's just sticking in my craw from last night. Can I talk about it today?
No. Good. We want good stuff.
Daily Line, shovels, all that. But next, Joe's going to tell us about this list. It's an anonymous player survey that The Athletic did. What are some of the things they said? It's not a list. But
we love List Radio.
List Radio. We're going to break it down for you when we come back right here on 105.7 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.